I should say at the beginning, this is a bit of an experiment. We're experimenting on you. Both Sibad and Matty and I have given many, many talks in our time, and we rather fancied just trying out, just talking to each other publicly, rather than standing up and giving an address, as it were. We hoped it would make a sort of more intimate evening. Yeah. So, well, the only thing I know is I'm going to start. After that, neither of us know. Although, Sibad actually just brought out a bit of paper that she's written things down on. I didn't think we were allowed to do that.
It's just in case I get stage fright.
Okay, well, apart from Subhadamati's little piece of paper, we have no idea what we're going to talk about. So we're going to, we thought that we would start just by sort of introducing ourselves a bit to you, or rather we'll introduce ourselves to each other and to you. So I thought I'd start with you, Subhadamati. So just to ask you a bit about, well, you were involved about the same time when I was, I think,
yeah,
you came a little bit.
A bit after,
yeah. We used to do the Wednesday class door together, famously. So I just wondered what brought you to the RBC, because obviously I know what brought me to the RBC, and I've got some idea what brought you, but what brought you here?
Okay. Well, I was about 23, and I don't know whether to talk to you or not.
I'll listen as well.
You listen. Yes, people often ask me that. Well, basically what happened was I was about 23, I had just graduated, and I had just, in Scotland, I had moved to London for work, and because there wasn't much work in Scotland at the time. And I was just kind of, I was lonely, I was certainly bored, I'd given up my kind of life before. To come to London for this job, didn't really know anyone. And I was kind of just looking around for an evening class. I mean, we didn't have the internet and stuff in those days. We had Time Out. I remember looking in Time Out and thinking, oh, what should I do? And I thought, well, maybe I'll do a yoga class. And I couldn't seem to find a yoga class, but then I saw a meditation class and I thought, oh, well, that might be nearly as good, you know. And so I came along to a meditation class, actually not here, but a kind of annex to the centre that we had in town in Covent Garden, and that was where I first went. And I think it's one of those funny things that, like, kind of that on the surface, that's what I was sort of driven by, was this kind of boredom, sort of restlessness. But it's funny, isn't it, when you look at things in retrospect, because when I look back, it does seem that there was more of a sort of trajectory that was kind of going to bring me here, but I certainly wasn't aware of that at the time. It was just, oh yeah, well, let's see what this is like.
And you quite quickly got involved, didn't you? Seem to remember, didn't you?
I did. Having been, well, again, that was interesting, because if I came along to this annex, I definitely came along to learn to meditate, was quite definitely not really interested in Buddhism, certainly not interested in anything religious. And
because
I'd given all that up. I had been a very devout Catholic as a little girl, and when I was 11 I realised I didn't believe in God. I remember that quite vividly, that experience of like praying in the chapel. I was always going down to the chapel all the time. My trade bander thinks I was a mother superior in my last life. That's another story. I realised I didn't believe in God. But also I'd been quite disillusioned by religion in general, kind of later on in my teens. I'd seen in this sort of Scottish village where I lived, I'd seen quite a lot of, quite uncompassionate action in the name of religion, really. Mm. And it very much turned me off religion. So I definitely didn't want to get involved in anything religious. At the same time, when I turned up to learn meditation, and maybe a bit like Satchidaya was saying, there was a man teaching who happened to be actually come from just two villages away in Scotland from me, interestingly enough. And he was ordained as a Buddhist, and I just thought, God, I want to be like him. Actually, he just seemed so intelligent, sort of emotionally intelligent. He seemed so aware. I remember the thing that struck me was he remembered my name from one week to the next. And I remember when he said, "How are you?" I thought, he means that. he's not just going, how are you, like people. I thought, he means that. And I realised I didn't think anybody had ever asked me, how are you, with quite the same quality of attention before. And so immediately I thought, well, he's a Buddha, so it must be Buddhism that sort of made him like this. So I wanted to find out more, and then I came to the Buddha Centre itself. I was absolutely horrified by the figure of the Buddha at first, and for a long time I used to sit with my back. If we were sitting in a room like this, I'd manoeuvre myself so my back was to the Buddha. But when I say a long time, it wasn't, in a way it was when you're in your 20s, it seems long, but maybe for a few months. But then I turned to face the Buddha, went on my first retreat, met a very good friend who'd also done the same meditation course. We moved in together, and then, you know, that started, me getting more and more involved here. We had a restaurant next door that's just recently closed down, but I started to volunteer there on a Saturday, and then I eventually worked full time there. So, yeah, quite quickly I was involved in what we call the Buddhist village around here, where I was living with other Buddhists in a Buddhist community, working in a team. I gave up my other job quite quickly, which was working as an editor, and worked in this Buddhist cafe. So yeah, I did. I got quite quickly involved. Yeah. And so did you. Because yeah. I was interested. Because I was thinking, what actually do I genuinely not know about Maitreya Vanda? And what I thought was, because I think you first came along just a little bit before me.
Possibly a year or two.
Yeah, a year or two. But yeah, I think you got ordained 5 years before me. I think you've been ordained 20 years, haven't you? And I've been ordained 15. So I thought, oh, well, you must have got ordained quite quickly after you first came along. And I was just wondering, like, did you always know that you would, or...?
No. What happened? I mean, it might have been a mistake, of course. In those days, it took anybody, didn't it? scratching around for people, you know. I just was standing in a queue.